Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Americans' attitudes towards gender identity and gender expression seem to be changing, even as the message from the White House becomes increasingly hostile. Transgender Americans are slowly gaining greater acceptance. Just this week, the commandant of the Coast Guard said he would not break faith with transgender personnel and would not enforce President Trump's ban on transgender service members in the military. But a less publicized debate is also reaching a pivotal moment. It involves children with congenital conditions that fall under the category intersex. Dr. Arlene Barretts is a radiologist in Pittsburgh and the mother of two intersex adults, and I spoke with her about some of the obstacles for intersex children, for their parents, and for physicians facing questions of gender and medical necessity.
Intersex refers to people who have conditions where their chromosomes, their gonads, or their genitals don't meet conventional notions of what it means to be male or female.
And how often today is surgery viewed as, I guess, what you would call a clinical solution, if one is even required?
It's hard to say that. About one in 2,000 children has a difference that's noticeable at birth, some kind of genital difference. And in those cases, sometimes surgery is viewed as a solution to what is thought to be a social problem of living with a different looking kind of body.
And it sounds like this is a medical debate, Dr. Barretts, that's being informed or maybe colored by notions of gender and what the demarcations in gender are.
Yes, that's correct. I think a lot of clinicians and people in society maybe have the idea that there is a binary idea of gender, that people fit into pink and blue boxes, that their bodies fit into those boxes, that their gender identities fit into those boxes. But when people are born with bodies or sex traits that don't fit into those boxes, I think it's natural to expect that the way they view themselves, in other words, their gender identity or the way they want to express themselves, their gender expression is going to also be non-binary or along a continuum as well.
And it sounds like all of this also points to another dilemma, which is if a surgical option is chosen, it's probably when the child is very, very young, and probably before you get the chance to ask any of these questions that you're talking about, or before they even have a gender identity.
These decisions are made before they're old enough to speak, much less express a gender identity. They're typically done in infancy, around 6 months to a year and a half. And so these children are irreversibly committed to bodies that are made to resemble one gender more than the other when they've had no opportunity at all, when their families have had no opportunity at all to even see who these children are.
Is it a good option then to wait till later, till the child is older? Is there an ideal age to have these conversations? And then if something like surgery is an option that the family or the patient wants, you can resort to it later.
A report has come out from an organization called Human Rights Watch in conjunction with an intersex group called Interact Advocates for Intersex Youth. And that report found that there have been violations of children's human rights to bodily integrity, to autonomy, to determine what they want their own bodies to look like. And I believe that in order to give children that autonomy, we need to have a process rather than some kind of age cutoff, a process where we're educating them about their bodies, we're supporting them to live in society the way they are. We already have this kind of process in place for kids with gender dysphoria, some of whom grow up to be transgender. We don't do that for families or children who are intersex. They often end up being isolated. At times, they're not offered support from peer support groups where there are other families who can talk to them, where there are other kids that they can relate to. And even in the hospital or the clinic setting, there are not that many resources that are devoted to giving them psychological and emotional support.
Now, you have some personal experience with this yourself, Dr. Barretts. As I mentioned, you've raised two intersex children of your own who are now adults. What did that experience teach you, and what drove you to become an activist in this issue?
I started medical school in 1980. And our very first year in our classes, we were learning about the development of the fetus. We learned about intersex conditions. And what we were told was that there are discrepancies between people's physical appearance and what their chromosomes or gonads might be, or that they have genitals that are not one or the other, and that when this happens, it's an emergency and something has to be done to fix it. And after you fix it, you should do it when people are younger, and you should make up a story to explain it. You can't tell them the truth, because if the child found out, it was thought that they would commit suicide. So I learned about this condition in my children when they were young, 6 and 4 years old. And so my feeling 10 years later when this was discovered was that here I'm raising children, and if they find anything out about this, they're going to commit suicide, which was just devastating. Eventually, a doctor did direct me to some support, and it was life-saving. It was the most wonderful thing that had happened to me. And after that, I became very involved, and I just decided that I did not want anyone else to go through the loneliness and isolation that I had gone through.
The report from Human Rights Watch is out. Several surgeons general, as we mentioned, have come out against routine surgery for intersex children. Where would you like to see information for parents of intersex children go?
What I would like to see is for families at the outset to start talking to people who can support them, both professionals like social workers, psychologists, nurses, child life specialists, and also the people who are the real experts on raising those children, and those are other parents. I'd like them to talk to those families and those people in the clinic to find out what it's really like to raise a child with this kind of difference, to find out that many people are raising these children with the bodies that they were born with, and that these children are very happy and healthy. We all love our children, and we all want to do what's best for them and to solve problems for them that they might have in the future. But in this situation, this might be something that their children don't want later on.
Dr. Arlene Barretts, I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Arlene Barretts is a radiologist in Pittsburgh, an activist for families with intersex children, and a mother of two intersex adults.